This seance was recorded on the 30th of November, 1984, medium Leslie Flint. In this recording, Dr. Cosmo Lang, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, talks to the group about their gifts of spirit and their awareness of the spirit world. He expresses his regrets in not learning more about the spirit world and acknowledging it when he was in the physical body.
As a matter of fact, it must be at times somewhat puzzling because there are so many souls that manifest from time to time, may not necessarily always manifest, like for instance today. Maybe that they are able sometime or another to give you impression or perhaps clairvoyant vision or in some other fashion make themselves known in part, if not completely so. But you know, you are extremely blessed with the souls that enter into your environment, impinge themselves temporarily upon your consciousness, manipulate sometimes to some extent what you are doing. Often perhaps you have a sudden impression to do this or that or whatever it happens to be, maybe some statement that you may make. You may come out with some few words to some body, and perhaps at the very moment that you are speaking, you're mentally almost saying to yourself, whatever made me say that? Yes. Because you're under the influence of all manner and kind of individuals from this side. You see, once you open the door, as it were, to the things of the spirit, once you are to some extent developing your psychic and your spiritual faculties, so you've been taken over temporarily at all manner and odd times, perhaps, not necessarily only when you are at a seance or perhaps when you are having a session, whether it's for healing or whatever it happens to be. All right, you may be sometimes laying hands upon some poor soul that has some illness, perhaps in great pain, is in great need of material help in that direction. But occasionally you will hear yourself saying or being impressed to say certain things, and oft-times it is a message of comfort that is being brought through from our side to the patient, sometimes a message from some relation or some friend whom they have known and loved and still think of, as indeed oft-times when a person is very lonely in your world and getting on in years, and perhaps they're sick and ailing, they get very unhappy and very depressed and nostalgic, thinking back to the happier times and the people they've loved and still love. And of course, when you do your healing, laying on of the hands, often impressions are given to you to deliver messages that will be of comfort and upliftment. You see, we try to do everything in our power, not only from a purely physical level, but also a mental and obviously a spiritual one. Each one of you are contributing to the work of the Spirit, and you are manifesting that power with which you are endowed. You have been developed, as it were, to some point, some perhaps a little more than another, or perhaps one maybe in a different direction. And I don't only mean in regard to your souls. I'm talking now in a more general sense. You know, there are innumerable people in the spiritualist movement, as you term it, who are serving on different levels. Some are serving on an entirely different level to another, some are on a more material level, some are more on a spiritual and elevated state of being, and of course there is often times when little or nothing appears to be happening of any consequence and you are puzzled, and sometimes you get a little disheartened. But you see, the powers of the spirit will, by their very nature, fluctuate. There are times when we find more difficult than another perhaps to reach you. And there are times when perhaps for various obvious reasons in your material world, circumstances are such that a barrier to some extent is temporarily at least put up. You know, when we come back to you and we enter into your material environment and we see the chaos all around and about, we see the unhappiness in your world, we see all the things that are happening which cause great distress of mind and indeed often of body. Worldwide we see the stupidity sometimes of man. We want desperately to help, we want to change the circumstances of life which cause such distress of mind and of body, and of course we don't and we cannot be expected to do perhaps very much in regard to your political way of life, whether it is in England or whether it is in some other nation or country. But we see the anger within the hearts of men. We see the distress that is caused by bigotry. And also, of course, we see the barriers that are put up, particularly oft-times through religious fervor, which often separates humanity instead of bringing them together, whether it is in Iran or whether it is in Ireland or wherever it happens to be. We see this hatred and madness and intolerance, this unhappiness that's brought into being by man's stupidity. But of course, in spite of all these obstacles, in spite of all these problems and difficulties and distresses, we are able from time to time to reach out to those such as yourselves who come together in love and in harmony, desiring to do the work of the Spirit, to alleviate the pain and the distress of mind and of body of innumerable peoples. But of course, when we see the immensity of the task, when we see, as we must see and do see, the terrible tangle of life, worldwide unhappiness, sometimes it's as if what we are endeavoring to do is like a drop in the ocean. But nevertheless, we know that we can and we do achieve more perhaps than may have been thought possible. You know, we're so grateful to people like you who come together in love and in harmony to serve, to give up your time and make an effort to do the work of the Spirit, to enlighten those who, in a sense, are dwelling in the darkness of material things. It's like a beam of light which, to some extent, at least does help here and there those who are prepared to see. You have been greatly blessed by the contacts you've made, by the peoples that come to you from all walks of life, and we know there are times when you feel perhaps you're not able to achieve all that you would like to do, but nevertheless, it is true to say that a great many have been blessed and helped and uplifted mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I do want you to know, not only on my own behalf, but on behalf of all the innumerable souls that are gathered here today, some you know, many you don't know, but they work quietly in the background, as it were. Of course, you have learned to know certain individuals, certain souls, certain peoples who have come at regular intervals to work with you and help and do the things of the Spirit. But nevertheless, we come as one band, irrespective of whether some come from a higher level of consciousness or some who are perhaps nearer the earth. And of course, you know, I think it's very important to remember that those who work, as often they do, nearer the earth plane, it is obviously much easier for them to come and work than it is perhaps for some soul from a very high sphere who may not be able sometimes to make a direct contact, but must give his or her message, as the case may be, to some other soul nearer the earth vibration. You know, if only people understood in the spiritualist movement in particular, because that is where our work lies. And there are so many, unfortunately, who are well-meaning, as indeed I'm sure you will agree, and well-intentioned, but their real deep-seated, rooted knowledge of this truth isn't as it might be. You see, there's so much depends for so many people on things which, to some extent, are only on the surface. Do you know it's true that vast numbers of spiritualists are only skimming the surface? They're not delving as deep as they might well do. They're not tuning in always to the highest possible level whereby the work of the spirit can be elevated on a much higher plane. But you are seekers, you are searchers, and I know for a number of years in particular you have delved deeply into the truth, and you spread this truth as best you can, and indeed you do to some extent obviously set some kind of an example. But you know, if only we could get all the spiritualists together, if only we could make them see the reality of things, make them realize the potential that lies deep within each and every one of them, and the mediums in particular, whose task is enormous. They have a great responsibility placed on their shoulders, and indeed it is something which at times they don't fully realize or understand. You know, the only way that anyone would ever achieve anything of any real consequence in the work of the spirit is when you forget yourself in loving service. It is then that you begin to find your true self. When you sort of stay, as it were, in the background, particularly where your mediumship is concerned, this is the most important factor, and possibly for some the most difficult thing to do or achieve. There's no point in self-aggrandizement or putting yourself, as it were, in a superior position, or thinking that because you have the powers of the spirit manifested through you, that you are unique. The whole point about this truth is that the less the medium himself intrudes upon his or her mediumship, the better that mediumship is going to be. And probably it's the most difficult thing of all to do, is to lose yourself. This is important. What I'm trying to tell you is not only from myself, but from all the dear souls that gather round you, some whom, as I've already said, you know, but many whom you do not know, who are also waiting an opportunity at some future time yet to come to manifest. But you know, we all have to go step by step. It's indeed true to say that it is like, in a way, a ladder. Each step of the rung of the ladder is important. You cannot climb to the heights until you have been in the depths. And of course this is true enough. Everyone is climbing. Everyone is hoping. Everyone to some extent is wishing that they can do even more than they are doing, achieve more than they have already achieved, on the level of consciousness which will indeed make possible what you term in your world miracles. You know, when you look into the truths that were taught by the great prophets and the great teachers and the great seers, with Jesus himself who performed such extraordinary deeds, what are usually termed as miracles. But then again, you see, Jesus himself realized that the only way to achieve the things of the spirit was to lose oneself in loving service. And I remember only too well that it was said that greater things than these should he do, for I go unto my Father. And this is true enough. There are things which can be done, things that can be achieved, if only you will have the realization of the faith within yourself, of the power of the Spirit that makes all things possible. There again we come back to losing yourself, to find yourself, you have first to lose yourself. The more conscious you are of yourself, of what you think you can do or have achieved, important though it may seem or even be to a point, the realization must come that you are the vehicles of God's expression, and that you are the, as it were, shell which can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, your physical bodies are but the physical aspect. They are, as it were, the vessel by which you are able to pour the living spirit, which is eternal. Nothing can destroy that spirit of yours. But if you can elevate that spirit onto the highest possible level and commune, indeed truly commune, with the highest possible vibration that it is possible to hope or achieve while yet still in the flesh, you know, I don't think anyone in your worlds, whoever they are, realizes the potential that they have within. Nothing is impossible, but even though it may seem so, the physical aspect of things, of course, at times distresses, and there are times when perhaps you feel you cannot do any more than you do, and indeed there are times when you feel that you have achieved as much as you ever dared hope to achieve, and yet there is always another step forward. There is still the possibility of doing even that little extra. And as soon as you begin to step out, then you begin to realize you're entering into an environment, a spiritual one that is, which you probably didn't fully understand or realize before was there. You know, latter centuries man has progressed in some respects. You know, there was a time when people would have pooh-poohed and not accepted or believed the realization that you now possess of things that are happening day by day in your world, such as with your radio, as you term it, and your television. If someone had told you 100 years or less ago that you'd be able to sit in your room and see what was happening thousands of miles away, you would have thought it was an impossible situation. You couldn't have accepted it. You couldn't have believed it. And yet all the time in your atmosphere there are vibrations. There are all manner and kind of things that can be picked up by a sensitized instrument. And what are you but sensitized instruments of God's will and purpose? And what are we who come to you? We are his children, as indeed are you, on a different level of consciousness, and indeed we are souls who have to some extent have progressed beyond material things. But because of the love that we feel, the love that we bear you, we try to break the difficulties and the barriers that separate us. These are purely physical things in themselves. They are more on the material level and not the spiritual. But the point is that you are valuable, not only to yourselves, but you are valuable to us. But you must also remember that if you want to tune in, you must rise above the material aspect of things, even though it may only be temporary. When you sit together, when you uplift yourselves mentally and spiritually, you are tuning in on a different level, a different wavelength. We are able to enter to some extent into your environment, inspire you and impress you to give out and to do the things that we wish you to do that will not only be a blessing to you, but of course even more important, a blessing to those less fortunate, those who are suffering, those who are in need, mentally and spiritually. You, my friends, have a tremendous task, a responsibility placed on you, shoulders, and I know that to some extent you've fulfilled your obligations as you see them, and we are grateful for that. But never feel that you have achieved completely all that has been set out to be done. We shall not fail you, and I'm sure you will not fail yourselves, but always remember that the power of the Spirit makes all things possible. There is nothing impossible to the power of the Holy Spirit, which is manifest within you, around and about you. And indeed you are living now as spiritual beings while yet encased in flesh. The power of the spirit can overcome all things. I have been here many years now. Time is of no consequence. Time is the biggest illusion of all. What seems time is not necessarily so, as you understand it. You judge time by your clock and the moon and the stars, and you judge time by all manner of other means. But the point is that time is a big illusion. I know it's easy for me to say this when you have to abide by time. You have to concern yourselves with time. You have to consider time. You have to give time. You have to take time. But time in itself is, in a sense, an illusion. There are some who accomplish more in their early formative years than those who live to be 80 or 90 years of age. But what a person may do or achieve isn't, in a sense, measured by time itself. It's measured, if it's measured at all, is by deed, by results, by opportunities, of course, that have presented themselves that make it possible to do certain things and achieve. But you know, you have been blessed. You have been given knowledge and experience, and you have given the realization of God's will and purpose for his children. You are endeavoring and have endeavored for some time to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit. You know all these wonderful things that have been written about for so many a century, the things that are written in the Bible and other great books, these truths that came to man through the intervention and the power of the Spirit from without, the souls who had preceded, the peoples who came back and inspired and helped and guided and uplifted and gave people strength while they were yet still on earth. You know, my friends, I oftentimes wonder why it is that so many in the spiritualist movement do not fully realize or understand the tremendous potential that they have, the tremendous opportunities that could present themselves if they demonstrated and did the work of the Spirit in a way in which would command, regard, respect, and uphold that truth which we are so anxious to do. You are instruments. You are blessed. You work perhaps sometimes in a way that is rather different to others. Everyone must do according to his light. Everyone must serve according to his light. But you know, we see you as a group. We see you as a whole, not necessarily as individuals. Of course, we do see you as individuals, but we see you as a group, as one body, doing the work of the Spirit, manifesting the power and the love of the Spirit, strengthening others who are less informed or less capable, less able to do the things that you do, for instance. But you must never stand still. You must always realize the tremendous potential, the source that is still untapped within you. Lose your identity to a point, yes, but remember that you yourselves are the ones who must do this work, and we are the ones who impress and inspire you. But don't get disconsolate, don't get distressed, because you do not always achieve the results you set out to do or felt you would have liked to have done. There will sometimes be failure. We cannot, for instance, neither can you, expect to cure everybody. There will be some whose pains can be alleviated, who can be helped and uplifted to a point, and we can do this and we can do that, which is beneficial. But we cannot achieve always complete success. But then again, you might say to yourself, what is success? Success is not always what it seems. Sometimes success is a delusion or an illusion. People are always striving in your world for success in some form or another. But what is success? Sometimes when you achieve success, you become desolate, and you find that the success that you'd aimed for didn't bring you the peace of mind or the happiness that you thought it might. But in the work of the Spirit, which is an entirely different thing in itself to material success, this is where success does give not only great joy and happiness, it gives the realization that which you've achieved, that which has been successful, whether it is curing this person or helping this or that person to comfort that person who mourns, whoever it is that you are helping, and you have some success, then indeed you have real success. It is a permanent success. It is a spiritual success. It's not just a material manifestation. It's just not a material success. It's a success which basically is spiritual. It's success which is eternal success. It's not purely a floating, changing success on material line or level of consciousness. You know, my friends, I was asked specially to come to you today. I didn't know whether I'd be able to manifest or be able to manage, but I just want you to know that which I say unto you is not entirely of myself. It is indeed of all who gather round you. It may not be quite what you'd anticipated this morning. It may not be quite what you'd even hoped for. But I can tell you this, that there is a reason and a purpose and a meaning of my coming. Because I am the mouthpiece of innumerable souls here. Some, as I've said, you know, many you know not. But we are a joyous band of pilgrims who enter into your earthly vibration temporarily to give you service, to give you love, to give you upliftment, to give you inspiration, and to give you the power of the Spirit, that you may render that power unto others, that they too may be blessed, they too may see, they too may know, they too may realize that nothing is impossible to those who serve and forget themselves in true service, doing the will of the Most High. My blessing to you, and may you go forward in strength. Bless you.
God bless you. What is your name, friend?
Shall we say that a long time ago, and this is all I'm going to tell you, a long time ago I served in the church. I suppose looking back on those early years when I was in high position in the church, I suppose you would say I was a success. In a sense, I suppose I was. Whether one would say that I was a spiritual success is another matter. I presumably at that period of my life thought that I'd achieved the highest possible place in the church, which indeed I did, but I don't see it as I saw it then as a material and spiritual success. I'm not saying that I did anything untoward or that I did anything that I would be ashamed of, but I realized that I didn't have the knowledge that you have. Here was I in the highest possible position in the church, and I hadn't the realization, I hadn't the knowledge and the experience that you people have. I believed, of course, in a life after death. I believed that it was possible under certain circumstances perhaps to mentally tune in, as it were, to the saints, as I refer to them as, but I now know that I was ignorant of what it was all about. I didn't even realize the tremendous possibility that lay within oneself. I can only say this, my friends, I am glad you have the knowledge that I did not have.
Would your name be Lang?
If we are to pass this on to those in the church, still in the church, who will long to hear it, we really should have some indication of the position you held, because they will demand, you see, they will want to know before they listen.
I understand.
Yeah.
But you know, like so many here, I'm fully conscious, fully aware that there will always be those in your world, particularly those in high places, especially in the church, who will refute, because of various obvious reasons, they will feel that this is something which from their point of view, could undermine their activities and their beliefs, and yet it is a supporting, indeed the most important aspect of things, that what I say and what I do and endeavor to achieve is indeed so vital, so important. It strengthens the church. If only the church would open its doors to this truth, as indeed Jesus understood, and Jesus expounded throughout, obviously, his lifetime, these truths. Life is not purely what it seems on the surface. You know, Jesus was in communication with various souls who've gone before, as indeed all the great teachers and prophets, as I've already said. They depended indeed for their stimulant and indeed for their strength and their knowledge upon the realization of the souls that came to them from time to time. When Jesus was perturbed or distressed or uncertain or unsure, what did he do? He went away into the silence, waiting for the inspiration, waiting for the guidance, waiting for the apparitions that would come to him from this side of life to strengthen his resolve. You know, and of course after his death, when he rose from the so-called dead, he appeared unto the disciples in the upper room. The door was locked, and he appeared unto them, and indeed to many another soul on earth he appeared to prove the reality of the fact that he'd overcome death. You know, you asked me, and I suppose it's only fair that I should tell you, my name is Lang. And if you wish to make use of what I've endeavoured to do this morning, please do.
Yes,
would you come up against obstacles, the same as when I was on your side? I too, to some extent, rejected the spiritualistic theories and attitude, and I wouldn't be drawn into it. In fact, I was afraid of it. And yet I had an interest of point, but I regret to say all this now on reflection, what one might have done, what one might have achieved in one's lifetime if I'd only had the strength of character and the resolve and the realization and the nerve to expound these truths. I suppose in a strange way deep down inside me I did accept, and yet I couldn't bring myself to accept to the point that I would go out, as it were, and declaim and declare it. But you know, you people here are very blessed. Yes. You really are more blessed, perhaps, than even you realize. I know it's just human and natural when you attend these seances with mediums. The point and the purpose, particularly in the initial stages of one's inquiry, is that you want proof of survival, which is only right and natural that you should have. Invariably, when one seeks truth in such a quest, you hope that you will make a personal contact with relations, people that you've known and loved, who may come through and give you certain facts and information to prove their identity and to strengthen your knowledge and your belief. This is of sufficient deed, should be. But you know, what worries me is why so many spiritualists never get beyond a certain point. Perhaps I shouldn't say this, but the point is that once you have achieved the result from the point of view of conviction by the evidence that you've had, whether it is from this relation or that friend, whoever it happens to be, that you've communicated with over a period of time. I'm not saying you shouldn't still continue to communicate with that individual or individuals given the opportunity, but what I feel is that one should endeavor, surely, to raise oneself on a level of consciousness whereby souls from this side who are not necessarily related or connected to you, can manifest themselves and bring through things of value, of spiritual upliftment, of realization of things which are far removed from the ordinary mundane and the material things, which are often, of course, necessary in the initial early stages of inquiry into the subject by some of the evidence that is volunteered by relations, but to get on to the level of spiritual realization, which in its train will bring through spiritual messages and also give you informative discussions and groups of opportunities to manifest these things on the level which we are so anxious to achieve. You know, if I were to go to a lot of the spiritualists, indeed I have been, circles, and endeavour to make contact, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be welcome to a point, but the point is that the vast majority of those people will say, oh yes, it's very interesting, and etc., 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 but of course we'd like a message from Fred, or our Charlie, or our Bert. Well, I understand, of course, when you're seeking in the early stages of inquiry into this subject, that you do need your messages from Fred and Bert and Charlie, and you do need cheering up and giving strength and made to realize that death is not the end by the personal experience. But you cannot go on indefinitely on that level. And unfortunately, so many spiritualists are on that one level. You go to a spiritual society or a church, which I've been to many a time, out of curiosity, if you like, and I've been so disheartened, because it seems that so few of the people there, even though they have had presumably conviction over a period of time by personal experience, are not interested in the spiritual realization, and they're not prepared to sit and listen, even if they're given the opportunity of something on a level of consciousness far removed from the mundane and the material, and they sit there impatiently, more often than not, waiting for the man or whoever it is, the medium, to finish so they can get the messages. I'm not saying the messages aren't important, they're vital, but you cannot surely make real spiritual progression in this work if you're going to stay on that level. You have got to sometimes come to the conclusion, sooner or later, that there is more in it than you have yet received. You've got to open up your mind, your heart. You've got to say to yourself, now we know it is true, let us reach out to the highest level that we can, so that we can be really inspired and uplifted, and that we can take ourselves away from the ordinary and the mundane into the things that are truly of the spirit and not of the flesh. This is what I feel so strongly about. This is why I want you, and that's why I've made this very, very special effort to come, being, as it were, the mouthpiece, not just of myself, but of all the innumerable people that are gathered round you, some who work with you, some who endeavour with you, some who serve with you, but many another that you know not of, who come on the level of spiritual awareness and consciousness, that you will go out into the world, that you will let peoples know of what we are desiring, what we are hoping for, what can be done and what can be achieved in what you term the spiritualist movement. We want it to be a truly spiritualist movement where the spirit is predominant and not the mundane and the material, but the spiritual. Bless you, my